So, as Louise has mentioned, it's Pentecost. Yay! And we had a holiday club meeting earlier. We were talking about Christmas jumpers. And I'm in the middle of a hot flush now, but I'm not one for wearing a Christmas jumper. I'd have a Pentecost t-shirt, but as you can see, I'm not really dressed for the occasion for that either. And I've stepped away from the mic just to help things. If you ever see me in a Christmas jumper, can you please check, one, my health, two, my sanity, and three, that my family haven't been taken hostage somewhere and that I'm having to wear a Christmas jumper under duress. So just saying, it's just not me. But there you go. So anyway, but more serious matters. Pentecost. What's it all about? So this is what Jesus said. And if you remember nothing of tonight, this is what I want you to take away with you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is what Jesus said to the disciples. So if you remember nothing else, now you can go to sleep. You've remembered that. You can have a snooze. Okay. So what's it all about? As Christians, it's the time where we remember the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the events that took place immediately after. But as with God, there's a little more to the background and meaning to what he's doing here, and I always like to have a look at that. So, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. And partly, I believe that's through bringing more insight to us when we read scriptures. And certainly for me, I find that when I'm reading my Bible, I can sometimes find myself making connections and links to other parts of scriptures that I know I wouldn't have managed on my own without God's help. And I've got a couple of those to share with you tonight. So I'm going to start by praying and asking the Holy Spirit to bring insight to us now. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you are here with us, the part of God, forever with us, reminding us that Jesus did not leave us as orphans, but sent in you a wonderful counselor to be with us always. So now we ask that you tune our hearts and our minds to your wavelength and teach us something new of God tonight. Please lead us into all truth as Jesus said you would. Amen. So, I want to head back to Exodus. And if you're really bored, you can count how many different transitions I've used on my PowerPoint, because I just literally went down and did a different one for each one. And there's a good 20 slides. There we go. Exodus 34. Here, God is giving Moses the new stone tablets with the law inscribed on it. And God also gave him some other instructions, including information about three festivals when all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. These are the festival of unleavened bread, otherwise known as the Passover, at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. The Israelites are told, oh yes, that's what I've wrote there. So there we go. Verse 18. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. The Israelites are told to celebrate the festival of weeks. Here we go. Celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest. It's all complicated. Festival of weeks. With the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and then also the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year, all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. So God has established 3 festivals, everybody in one place. Now, God's telling him this before he even knows where this is to be, because obviously it's going to be Jerusalem, but they're not there yet. So this is in advance. And the ingathering festival is also known as the Festival of Tabernacles. So, Passover is celebrated. And then Deuteronomy 16 gives us a bit more information on when the other festivals are to be celebrated. Verse 9 says, count off 7 weeks. The time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the Festival of Weeks. to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. So there we go. That's why it's called the Festival of Weeks, because you count off seven, as in the number of days in a 1 week. You count off that many weeks and then. Okay? So 7 weeks is 49 days, and then is the 50th day. Okay. And then verse 13. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. So we've got Passover, 49 days, 50th day, we've got the Festival of Weeks, and then at the end of all the harvesting, the Festival of Tabernacles. And verse 16 says, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. And as I said, a place he will eventually choose, but they're not there yet. So, why all this looking at the Jewish festivals? Well, because Jesus came to fulfill the law, and not to abolish it. And I actually think this includes the festivals that God established as part of his way of life in the Old Testament. So let's have a look at a different angle. Here we've got the festivals. So we have the Jewish feast of Passover, the thing that Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the day before he died. So now we have supplanted upon Passover, Holy Week and Easter, remembering that Jesus has become our Passover lamb. So now we count on 7 weeks and a week's worth of weeks. We get the Festival of Weeks. And on the 50th day, that's when they celebrate it. And you know what the Greek for 50th is? Pentecost! There we go. So you can see that in the New Testament, we're establishing the new things. So then I'm like, okay, Festival of Tabernacles. Festival of Tents, where they live in temporary dwellings. We currently live in our temporary dwellings of our bodies. And what we could do in the future, this is me, this is my thinking. I'm like, well, it's yet to come. The replacement and of the Festival of Tabernacles is yet to come. I don't see it in our lives at the moment. And I think when we swap these transient bodies for our heavenly ones, our permanent ones, maybe that's it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just kind of went, ooh, that's interesting. So you can see God is making things new. He is making things new. He took the law that Jesus came to fulfill, and he's making these festivals new as well. And so here we are, Pentecost. They've all come to fruition through Jesus, and he said this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this is really, what I want you to remember, so I'd like you to say it with me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let's make it more personal. Say this together. I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me. And again, go on. I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me. So the word was power. It was the first thing that came to me when I started to think about preaching tonight. It was just really emphasized. And I began to think about it from my dim and distant A-level past. And I was reminded of this. Power has a formula. I was like, that's interesting. Power has a formula. All the transitions in PowerPoint coming into play. Power is equivalent to the amount of work done divided by the amount of time you take to do it. It's measured in watts, and the work done is measured in joules, and time taken measured in seconds. Power equals the amount of work you've got to do, the amount of energy used over the time taken. So if I had 100 joules of energy and used them over 10 seconds, that would be a power rating of 10 watts. If I had the same amount of energy but used them over 5 seconds, that would be a power rating of 20 watts, double. So I looked at this equation and I started thinking about it in the terms of the Holy Spirit, and I realized that this has been true in my life. I have received power from the Holy Spirit. Power is dependent on how much energy you have or work to be done and how much time it takes you to do things. And these are both terms in which I have known God's help in my life. How many times have I done things in less time than I thought it was going to take me? How many times has my petrol lasted way longer than it should have done? Literally, honest to goodness, because money's sometimes tight, I have driven around and God's told me, turn that mileage clock off. Because if you start looking at it, I can't do my stuff. And I swear, my petrol has lasted longer than it should have done at times. The phrase running on fumes does spring to mind. My brother-in-law thinks that's when your petrol tank's at quarter full. I was like, oh no. Oh no, that's when the red light's been on for 5 miles and you really know that you should be at a petrol station. It is my experience and my true belief that God messes with time and he messes with how long things last and the energy you've got. Honest to goodness truth. And here we go. If you don't believe me, let's have a look at the Bible. God messes with time. He does. Joshua. What? She's laughing. She's laughing. Minister's laughing. Okay, what have I done now? Okay. For those listening, I have done lots of slide transitions. Here we go. Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and new moon over the valley of something. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped. So the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Joshua. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Now, if that's not messing with time, I do not know what is. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. There's also an example, one example, but it's recorded twice in the Bible. And we're going to look at it from from Isaiah chapter 38. This is King Hezekiah, who was one of the ones who did good in the eyes of the Lord. Here we go. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. He's ill, by the way. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has already gone down the stairway of Ahaz. Okay, so again, he's making the sun do different things, which impacts time. So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. There's also a record of this in 2 Kings chapter 20. So there you go, two biblical examples of when God stepped in and messed with time. So what about energy? This is a story of oil lasting longer than it should. And when I said about petrol, God reminded me of this, and he reminded me that petrol is a derivative of oil. It is oil-based. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. And Elisha replied to her, How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. And Elisha said, go around, ask all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few, then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She had a small jar of olive oil, and yet she poured and filled so many jars of oil with it. A story of oil and flour lasting longer than they should. 1 Kings 17, 9 to 16. God is talking to Elijah. He says, go at once to Zarephath, something like that, in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, oh, and bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Well, there we go. Go back to that. So often we might think of power from the Holy Spirit being that of a wave crashing over us. And whilst, yes, that can be true, I think it's important to look at the times when it's the little everyday things, some of which you may not even notice. Just like those stories in the Bible, I want to encourage you to start thinking that power from the Holy Spirit is more like this. It's helping in the everyday things like getting jobs done faster, but also to remind you that the amount of Holy Spirit power can be dependent on how much we seek it, how much we seek God's face through prayer, worship, and Bible study. And not just here on a Sunday or in fellowship group, but individually in our own space and time. Jesus said this in Luke. He says, if you then, though you are evil, no, or rat bags, as Louise would call us. Jesus was a bit more blunt. He says, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I've asked my lovely friend Colette if she might, would you come up, please? Because I need your help with something, actually, as well as what I said before. And let me just, yes, that's what I thought, blank one. When one is talking about power measured in watts, and you have someone called Watts, you cannot fail to ignore. But the more I thought about the times I've worked with you, this lovely lady helped me set up the bookstall that we used to have. And I tell you what, this one works like fire. She's quick. I mean, when she was setting up the things the other week, she's like done stuff jobs so quickly. What's by name, what's by nature? It's a powerhouse. But the other thing I get to see when I'm up here is I get to see her like this on a Sunday. I get to see her worshipping. And I know that your heart is for God. But I do know that she, if you want something doing, get Colette. Sorry, you'll have everybody come. Could you do me a favour? Could you put this on the floor? Oh, not with the pots on. Just kind of there on the floor would be great. Thank you. Thank you. So there you go. Think of Colette. What's power? Power to do the everyday stuff. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So. In a moment, we're going to be worshipping God again and asking the Holy Spirit to come in power. But firstly, I want to look back at that first Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came looking like flames, enabling the disciples to speak in tongues. And that is to speak in languages not learnt. It was purposefully timed to coincide with the festival of first fruits or weeks, a time when all the Jews were expected to be in Jerusalem. How time efficient of God to allow all these people to hear the message of Jesus in their own language rather than having to rely on the time taken for interpretation. The Holy Spirit came in power, saving time and seeing 3,000 people saved. The harvest of first fruits in itself of the not yet named Christianity. Now, when I was typing this up yesterday, I mistyped the word came as calm. And so the Holy Spirit, calm in power. And I think that actually that can be true too. There is can be such a calmness and peace when the Holy Spirit is present. And secondly, a story from a few weeks ago in the morning service, 22nd of May. I was on the sound desk at morning. Emma was leading worship. And during the second set of worship, I'm there leaning over the sound desk, and I was quite glad I had my hands down because I suddenly felt this wave of the Holy Spirit and it honestly nearly knocked me off my feet. I was like, whoa, where's that? And I looked up, and there's Colin. Colin was just here at the front. He was just worshipping like mad. And I spoke to him afterwards to discover that not only was it his birthday, but actually his own Pentecost, the 50th anniversary of him first being filled by the Holy Spirit. And so when I was just like, wow, because also, and Emma felt it as well. She felt it as well. So Colin's where Louise was now. I felt it on the sound list. Emma felt it here. And we talked to Kath afterwards as well. And she said that the prayer diary prayer for that day had been this: invite God's Holy Spirit to be at work in our services today. Definitely prayer answered there. And not only that, I had a recent experience of exactly what I was thinking with that. Actually, sometimes when God pours out his spirit on one person, you get splashback. Just as if I stand here with this lovely jug of water over this very small cup. To me, this is exactly what happened. And I think God's got a better aim than me, but see what I mean? And that is just,
hence the towels. Sorry, Janet.
What you've just seen there physically with water, I really believe happens with the Holy Spirit as well. So with that in mind, and in full hope and expectation that God will pour out his spirit on us as we worship him, then if you feel the need to go and stand behind those glass doors, then do feel free. Or if you want to go up on the balcony where it's a bit more protected, but not, God says you will get splashed. It's my true hope and desire and my prayer that as we come and worship God, he will meet with us and pour out his Holy Spirit in power. But sometimes that might just be looking like, you know, you've plugged your phone in to power up the battery. That isn't spectacular like that. It's not that, what's the word? Dramatic. It's not that dramatic. So maybe it won't be that dramatic at all, because each of us are individuals, and God knows us, and he knows what we can cope with. He knows whether we want to go and splash in the rivers and the waves, and he knows whether we just like to be plugged in, like we charge our phones up. It's fine, because you are you, and God is with you, and he will relate to you as he relates to you. So, power from the Holy Spirit. I challenge you, let God mess with your time, let God mess with your resources. Challenge him to show you what he can really do in your lives, in the everyday. And remember this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that reminds me that I was going to finish reading that verse, because actually the rest of the verse says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we will receive power, but we need to be as witnesses as well. How much more will God give his Spirit to those who ask him? So if you're standing anywhere near Colin and you don't want to splash down, move. And that's it, really. We're going to worship. So maybe if you do want us to take a step back, or imagine maybe God's going to pour his Holy Spirit out here and you want to just come and be here where it is. Or maybe you want to stay further back. I don't know, because I don't know what God's going to do. All I'm going to know is that I'm going to worship and ask him to send his Spirit.